Chapter 17. What had she done? Emily heard someone scream in the distance, but she couldn't take her eyes off Alassa's face. What had she done? Alassa seemed trapped midway through transformations, as if the transformation had proceeded only so far, then stopped. The morbid part of Emily's mind pointed out that it was lucky that Alassa had been knocked out, or she would have been in terrible pain. The rest of her wondered if she'd killed the bully outright. What if she had? She'd been so happy at Whitehall, so happy that she'd never seriously considered going home. They'd expel her, and then Alassa's royal parents would kill her. A hand caught her and shook her, roughly. Emily turned to see one of the tutors, an elderly man she didn't recognize. Another tutor, with dirty black hair and an unpleasantly jaundiced face, used magic to pick up Alassa. Then they both vanished in a flash of light. To the school's infirmary, Emily hoped, and prayed inwardly that they weren't going to the morgue. What had she done? Mixed magic, part of her mind answered. Two spells. She'd tried to cast two spells at once, and they'd interacted. How could she have been so stupid? Broomstick's roommate had been a genius compared to Emily. Emily had let rage and hatred trick her into losing control. She could have protected herself and Emeka, then cast a single spell on Alassa, or she could have simply thrown a punch right at the bully's face. In a world where magic was exalted above all else, Alassa might not have thought to shield herself against physical blows. Her head spun again. Emily felt as if she were about to vomit. What had she done? Alassa might not recover at all, or she might have permanently mutilated the girl, or... Too many horrific possibilities ran through her mind. She might as well have been playing with a gun, unaware that it had been loaded until the moment she pulled the trigger. No, she'd known that magic could be very dangerous. She had no excuse. The tutor's face showed nothing but grim anger. Emily couldn't blame him. There was a crowd gathering to witness her shame and humiliation. Emily wanted to hide, but where could she go? They would all know that she'd almost killed Alassa, even if the royal princess had thoroughly deserved punishment for her bullying. What would they think of her now that she actually cared about the opinions of her peers? Maybe she should kill herself. She'd thought about ending her life years ago, when she'd realized just how little she had to look forward to. But what she'd done now was far worse than merely having had enough of a pointless life. A girl had been badly injured, left on the verge of death, and it was all Emily's fault. There was no escaping her responsibility for losing control of her own magic. A few seconds of actual thought would have allowed her to teach Alassa a lesson without nearly killing her. She swallowed hard and looked up at the tutor.
"Go to the Hall of Shame,"
he said, in a voice that refused to brook disobedience.
"Now."
Emily nodded very slowly. Somehow, her legs felt wobbly, unwilling to obey orders. She managed to walk forwards, towards the nearest entrance to the castle. The crowd of students drew back as if she were carrying a contagious disease and they were afraid of catching it. None of the tutors looked happy. No doubt anyone who spoke out of turn would regret it for a very long time. She felt eyes boring into her back as she reached the doorway and entered the castle. Somehow, maybe not surprisingly, the door led her right into the Hall of Shame. She'd seen it before, the first time she'd entered the castle. Students who had broken the rules were sent there to wait for sentence to be passed, although she wasn't sure who did the sentencing. Somehow, she doubted that just anyone would decide her fate. By now, the Grand Master probably knew and was discussing her future with Void. She could just imagine what the sorcerer who had risked his own life to save hers would say, once he heard that she'd ruined her own future, and Alassa's parents would want her dead. Emily shivered, unsure of what to do. Maybe she could just run.
"Hi," a voice said.
She looked up to see Jade standing there. She blinked hard to clear her eyes. They'd expel her from martial magic for sure, even if they allowed her to remain in the school. His voice was surprisingly soft, almost gentle, but he didn't know what she'd done.
"What are you doing here?"
Emily shook her head. She didn't want to talk about it. "What are you doing here?"
"I'm a prefect," Jade reminded her. "It's my turn to monitor the Hall of Shame."
Of course he would be, Emily realized.
They'd want a potential combat sorcerer like him to have leadership experience if he had to go to war. Jade made a show of glancing up and down the corridor.
You seem to be alone, he said after a moment. No one ever gets in trouble when there's a can match on.
Emily flushed, fighting down the urge to cry. She'd definitely go down in the school's history, perhaps under the heading of what not to do, and to think that it had something to do with sport. She looked down, unwilling to let him see her eyes filled with tears. Am I the worst pupil in the school? Jade caught her shoulder and shook it gently.
You've only been here a week. Do you think you're worse than the idiot who thought that a shark would make a good pet? She transformed it into a cat and used it as a familiar. The monster scratched everyone until it vanished into the kitchen and was never seen again.
Emily stared at him, wondering why his touch was actually reassuring. Did the shark kill people?
No, but some of them wished they were dead, Jade said, with droll amusement. Did they say how long you were to stay here?
No, Emily admitted. The tears were still falling. He passed her a handkerchief, allowing her to dry her eyes. I don't know how long to stay here.
That's a bad sign, Jade said.
He looked as if he wanted to pry, particularly after she'd asked if the shark cat had killed someone, but held his tongue.
You see the marks on the floor? Go stand there, as still as you can, with your hands on your head. Someone will eventually call you into the warden's office where...
Sentence will be passed, Emily thought numbly. What happens if I move?
The warden will know and he will take it into account, Jade said. Don't annoy him, whatever else you do.
Emily almost giggled, as if that would matter.
Thank you, she said finally.
She dabbed her eyes and then passed the handkerchief back to him.
Thank you.
The Hall of Shame seemed larger than she remembered, but then she was the only pupil there. She stopped at the glowing marks, hesitated, then stepped onto them, realizing that everyone who walked by would see her and know that she was being punished. They would have probably heard rumors already, she thought bitterly. The child of destiny, who had arrived on a dragon, had almost killed a fellow pupil. She might even have killed a fellow pupil.
Hands on your head, Jade called. Now, if you please.
Emily hesitated and then slowly obeyed. The pose was humiliating as hell, intended to make it clear that she was definitely being punished. No wonder it was such an effective punishment. Her stomach churned rapidly as she remembered what she'd done, and the horror-struck looks on the faces of Alassa's cronies. They might have been encouraged by the princess's parents to guard her. If so, Alassa had been badly injured on their watch, but they could have been encouraged to show her a better way to live. But none of that mattered, she remembered dully. She was responsible for her own actions, including a failure to think before acting. All the excuses in the world wouldn't change that simple fact. What had happened to Alassa was her fault, and her fault alone. Time ticked by slowly, to the point where she felt that she'd waited in the corridor for hours. She somehow managed to hold still, apart from twitching, but her arms were starting to ache from the uncomfortable posture. Her eyes flickered from side to side. Jade was seated at his desk, reading a book. How could he read at a time like this? The butterflies in her stomach were mating and having children. God alone knew what was keeping them from summoning her to face judgment. How long had she even been standing in the Hall of Shame? A voice echoed through the corridor.
Emily, enter the office.
Emily's arms creaked as she managed to make her body move, cramping slightly when she walked towards the heavy wooden door. It didn't open at her approach, forcing her to open it with her bare hands. Yet another twist of the knife. Her arms hurt as she pulled open the door, but it hardly mattered. She felt as if she were walking to her own execution. She stepped inside and looked around. The warden's office was completely bare, apart from a desk, a pair of chairs pushed against the far wall, and a locked cabinet. There were no personal touches at all. A single glowing ball of light hung in the air, casting a cold radiance over the entire chamber. The effect it created was very much like a prison cell. The warden, at least she assumed he was the warden, was seated behind his desk, wearing a monk's cowl that had been charmed to shroud his face in darkness. Emily tried to look into the shadow and saw nothing, not even a hint of human features under the hood. A chill ran down her spine as she came to a halt in front of his desk, wondering if he was even human. There had to be a reason why he was hiding his identity.
Emily, the warden said.
His voice was almost completely toneless, leaving her to wonder if he was using a spell to disguise his voice as well as his face.
What exactly happened today?
Emily swallowed hard and started to explain. The warden listened carefully. Like the Grand Master, he seemed capable of listening without interrupting and asking stupid questions. Alassa hated her and her friend. Alassa had transfigured her and hurt Emeka, and Emily had lashed out at her without thinking. She admitted that it had been her fault at the end and then stopped, waiting to hear what the warden said. Whatever it was, she told herself, she could take it.
Your two spells merged to produce an unexpected effect, the warden said. You turned her lower jaw into stone.
He paused as if inviting comment. Emily said nothing, although inwardly she was relieved. At least she hadn't killed Alassa.
An inch higher, and you would have killed her,
the warden added. His voice was still toneless, but she thought she detected cold anger behind the mask.
You did not focus either spell very well, so there was effectively no focus at all. It could have transfigured part of her brain into stone while the rest remained flesh and blood. The result would have been fatal.
Emily blanched. A person could be a variable in a spell. She'd learned that much from Professor Lombardi. Turning Alassa's entire body into stone wouldn't have been fatal. It certainly wasn't fatal when it happened to noisy students, but if half of her brain had simply stopped working properly, the rest of her brain wouldn't work. Emily knew very little about how brains functioned, yet she could see how the spell would have been lethal, and she hadn't even bothered to aim properly.
As it was, Alassa was shocked into unconsciousness, the warden said. Which is lucky. The healers had to dismantle what you did carefully, and her thrashing about trying to cast healing spells on herself would quite possibly have made the problem worse. Even so, you could easily have mutilated her permanently.
Emily gulped. One of the books she had read for charms covered healing spells, and the very first page had warned students never to try to heal themselves unless there was no one else within shouting distance. There was too much chance of the spell going badly wrong if the caster was in pain, causing additional damage that would need a trained healer to fix.
You didn't, thankfully, but you may very well have caused additional problems for her in the future.
The warden's voice grew stronger, darker.
Partial transfigurations are always dangerous. The spell for turning a person's hand into stone should be on the banned list, if you ask me. The only thing that keeps it off the banned list was the simple fact that it was only targeted on the victim's hand, with safeguards that your botched spells managed to bypass. We will have to reconsider that position. You could have inflicted mental trauma on her, he continued. If you'd aimed lower, you could have suffocated her to death or permanently damaged her reproductive system. Do you have any idea? Any idea at all? Of just how politically disastrous it would be to have the crown princess of any kingdom rendered infertile.
His voice hardened.
The first duty of any monarch, be they male or female, is to have a child of their body who can be linked into the spells they use for keeping their thrones in their bloodlines. If Alassa was unable to bear children, the throne would have to be passed to the next person in line. And that person happens to be married to the crown prince of a neighboring kingdom. The political shockwaves would have been bad enough if anyone had done it, but everyone seems to think that you are a child of destiny. They would be wondering if your destiny was to destroy her kingdom.
Emily found herself speaking before she could stop herself. Why do you let her bully anyone who doesn't suck up to her? The warden seemed to look at her, but it was impossible to be sure.
Excuse me?
The first time I met her, she acted like a bully, Emily said. The second time, she and her cronies stuck a jinx on me that I had to fight to remove. The third time, she deliberately picked a fight and then tormented my friend. Why do you tolerate it in a place where an accident could kill someone, even if it didn't unleash such political repercussions? There was a long, chilling pause.
We are preparing children to fight in a war, the warden said. It is important that we teach them the skills they need to defend themselves, or the wisdom to understand their place in the Allied lands. You developed defensive skills very quickly, did you not? Alassa needs them too. When she becomes queen of her land, she will have no one that she can trust completely. Students need incentive to learn.
Emily tried to fight down her rising anger and failed. I suppose that being turned into a frog from time to time does encourage someone to learn how to prevent it from happening again. Does that even work?
There are rules, the warden said. Rules which are largely unspoken. Rules that you have broken, if accidentally. We do not seek to pit untrained first years against sixth years who should be qualified magicians. Those we allow to bully are stronger than their victims, but not insurmountably strong. You could have bested her after little more than a week of training. But you acted badly. Worse, foolishly. And you must be punished. Some of the senior tutors wanted to expel you, he added. They said that you might never learn discipline, or that you now posed a demonstrable threat to other students, or even that your mana might be permanently slopping around you. Others wondered about the political issues. Should we throw you to the wolves just to prevent a major political struggle in the Allied lands? And several remembered who sent you here and asked if we should risk annoying him.
Emily flinched.
The Grand Master concluded that you were a new student, that you were provoked badly, and that Alassa had been allowed to get too far out of hand, the warden said. She was learning nothing from her actions, and indeed the only one of her victims who can be said to have learned anything is you. The lesson may have convinced her that there are limits to how far she can go, whatever she may have been taught by her parents. If not, it is unlikely that she will master enough magic to be secure on her throne.
Or, Emily thought, now that she has been publicly beaten, all of her old victims will be lining up to take shots at her.
There will be three punishments for you, the warden said. First, you will be assigned to assist Alassa in passing basic charms. Your grade will be dependent upon how well she does on her next exam. Should she still fail to pass, you will keep tutoring her until she does. It is fortunate indeed,
his voice dripped irony,
that we are forced to run new basic charms classes constantly.
Emily shuddered. Trying to teach someone something when they didn't want to learn, that was always horrific. And somehow she doubted that it would lead to friendship, whatever those dorky parenting manuals claimed.
Second, you will write a 3,000-word essay due in next Sunday about just how many things could have gone horrifically wrong when you mixed two different spells together.
Emily winced. 3,000 words? Writing all that out would be a nightmare without computers or even typewriters.
Should your essay, which will be marked by Professor Lombardi personally, not reach a sufficient grade, we will have to talk again.
He stood up and walked around the desk, one hand holding a long, thin stick.
Third, he said, as Emily stared at the cane in horror, bend over and place your hands on the desk.
But
now, the warden ordered.
Emily couldn't believe what was happening, even though her hand had been struck to remind her to be careful with her spells.
I won't ask you a third time.
Trembling, Emily obeyed, silently praying that a robe would offer some protection. The first stroke proved that it provided no protection at all. Pain flared across her rear as she yelled. She started to move backwards, only to discover that her hands were stuck to the desk. 5 more strokes followed in quick succession before the warden stepped back and nodded for her to leave the room. Clutching her bottom, Emily fled. All she wanted now was to reach her room and cry.